welcome to Life Learnings with Helen and Louise. This is a space where we aim to help, educate and entertain you on all aspects of life. Each week we will be here live to inspire you to take action in your own life. We will bring together a beautiful mix of practical logic and spiritual intuition to help you live life your way. Tonight we're talking about retreating and why it's the best thing you'll ever do for yourself. Oh my gosh, Lou, I love retreats. And interestingly, I have probably been on quite a few over the last 5 or 6 years. But my sister stayed recently.
Yes.
And she is the same age as me. And she said, I am going on my very first retreat later this year. Mm. Oh my gosh. And the mix of nerves and excitement, actually, that she shared was quite outstanding.
Yeah.
Whereas I kind of, because I'm now a bit of a seasoned retreater, whether it's me going to a retreat space, which has structured activities, or taking myself off on my own retreat. So I've taken myself off on a writing retreat before where I was writing my book. But also in a week, actually, I'm taking myself off on my own just to a really cool little Airbnb place. Just to retreat privately, doing exactly what it is whenever I want to do it, sleeping whenever I want to sleep, meditating whenever I want to meditate, doing any of that stuff that I just want to do without the distraction of my normal life. And I think that's probably the purpose, essentially, of going on retreat. I think for me there's probably two purposes. One is that retreating from my normal life, so that I can connect with myself and rediscover or discover what it is I want to do. But also the other purpose, I love going on retreats where I can learn something, where I can improve myself in some way or another. And I know that it's those retreats that, or all of the retreats actually, that have helped me move my life and business to where I want it to be. So anyway, I was really excited about my sister going on retreat because it was her first one. But I could also
tell... That's a big deal, isn't it?
It's a huge deal, but I could also tell she was a little bit nervous because she's not sure what the other side of the retreat looks like.
As in how she may be thinking differently, feeling differently, or is that what you mean?
Yeah, and just being different. Because as we know, when we... even if we go to a conference... We learn so much and then we come back and we're excited and we can hopefully implement some of those things into our world. But when we go on retreat, we will change on an emotional level, on a spiritual level. And then it's coming back to the realities of our life when no one else, or perhaps the people we're living with, haven't been through that same journey. So then it's kind of like, am I a square box in a round hole? Or whatever that saying is.
Because... I guess it really, when you go on retreat and having done a few retreats, it actually takes courage. It's a virtue. Courage is a virtue. And courage is actually made up of a few different things, isn't it? To go, oh, I'm actually going to declare what's in my heart and go, oh, I actually really need to do this. Take time out. And whether, like you said, whether it's a structured thing or it could even be, I'm just going off for the day or half a day even.
Yes, to disconnect from whatever it is and retreating for that half a day can make such a massive difference. But you're right, it does take a lot of courage. And I know for me, the very first retreat I went on, a mutual friend of ours actually had shared it with me. And I sat with it and thought about it and I was like, oh my gosh, I would just really love to go on that. And this was a few months before, maybe even 3 to 4 months before the actual retreat was being held. And it took me a while to speak with my husband about it. And it wasn't, I don't think necessarily the fact that I would be away or it was going to cost money. I don't think it was necessarily that. I think it was my own fear around his reaction, or my own fear around, and perhaps like my sister, what's this retreat going to do to me? How am I going to be different? So I would totally relate to that idea of courage.
And I think it's what I'm hearing you say is, you know, when it's that, what's on the other side? It's the, I'm slowing down enough on this retreat on this time out. So I was wondering whether it's you know, taking, like we often say, I don't have time to take half an hour out, or I can't possibly think of doing a massage. What I'm hearing you say is, when I, if I'm busy and running, I am moving so fast, I'm not allowing my emotions or my feelings or whatever it is to catch up with me. And then by pausing, taking that moment, it's like that stuff's going to come. Like it's almost like, you know, a 10 car pile up is going to happen.
Yes.
And you don't know what the outcome is.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that kind of, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, no one likes the unknown.
Yeah.
And, but when you are courageous enough to step into retreat, which will lead you to the unknown, that's when really great things can happen. But there's a number of steps beforehand, right? You've got to have the courage. You might have to have the conversation. You might need to save the money.
Yes.
Because often taking yourself off on retreat, you know, can be a pricey, you know, result depending on what you choose to do. I mean, I went on a one-day women's retreat here in Brisbane. And I think from memory, maybe it was, let's say, 9:30 till 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
So you can find local retreats in your area, which are one day ones like that.
Yeah.
Or you could perhaps do what I did. I mean, I took myself off on a riding retreat, but you might just, you might not need to do that. You might just take yourself off to a park on a beautiful day with your picnic rug and your, you know, stash of food and drinks and water and all of that, and simply just sit there and be. Maybe take your journal, maybe take, listen to some podcasts, like whatever.
Yeah.
To just remove yourself from the distractions that are in your world.
And that's a really good example. Like I remember there's an author, Glennon, who is author of Love Warrior.
Yep.
Love her stuff. She gives an example of, you know, her life, marriage, everything was just going to poop and was processing some really heavy emotions and was just running. She gives the example, she tells a story in like a session she did at one of Oprah's, you know, life learnings kind of, you know, big events. And she talks about going to a yoga class, a 90-minute hot yoga class. And she's like, it's hot as hell in here, people. And she said that, you know, everyone was going around the room going, what was their intention for the class? And her words were something to the effect of, excuse my paraphrasing, I just need to get through the next 90 minutes. I'm going to stay on this mat. I don't know what the hell's going to happen because I'm pretty much I'm a hot mess right now. And the teacher just said to her, honey, you just stay on that mat and, you know, whatever's going to come through, you know, you're going to be okay.
And you know what? It's interesting that...
It's just a yoga class, like taking that 90 minute or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's not a long amount of time, is it? But the fact that you said that Glennon said she was a hot mess.
Yeah.
And she's in a class, which is hot yoga, which is the room's heated to 37 degrees Celsius or something like that.
Yeah.
And that is hot. It's nearly like she took her fire and jumped into the fire.
Oh, yeah.
That takes a serious amount of courage.
Yes.
Because she knew she was going to be totally different, but yet she knew it's like the fire and the fire were going to put itself out or something. It was like it was going to create some alchemical approach and allow her to then move through what she needed to as she left
and
the class.
Exactly. And it was at the end of the class. That's what she often talks about. This yoga class changed her life because she had to sit with her pain that she had been running from for a very long time since she was like a kid, 10 years old. And she kind of had that realization and goes, you know, kind of describing the way of the warrior is you walk through. I can't remember. There's this beautiful quote. But it just explains you don't have to go away. It's about going, I need to take this time out. And I think when we look at courage, what does courage actually mean? And there's this awesome, I know I refer to it all the time, but there's these VIA character strengths. And when they talk about courage, they break it down into its component elements. Courage takes a few of these things. So they say courage is basically exercising the will to accomplish goals in the face of opposition, external and internal.
Okay. I just love that.
Isn't it?
Because I think a lot of the times we go, well, externally, you know, partner says I can't go away because of the children. I haven't got the finances to cover. Whatever the external things are.
I don't have time to go to a yoga class.
Yes. Whereas we don't acknowledge the internal, because some of that external could well just be in my head.
Oh,
maybe my partner would love me to go away. Maybe the yoga class is easy to schedule. Mm. Whatever the thing is. Mm. Yeah, I love that.
I know. It's brilliant, isn't it? So it's the internal and external. So then the core component parts of courage that they say, first one is bravery.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I totally agree with that.
So capacity to take action, to, you know, in spite of risks or dangers, it helps you to avoid shrinking from the threats or the challenges or pain.
Mm.
Yeah? Bravery. So what else? What else makes up courage? Persistence.
Oh, yeah. Like that.
Mental strength to continue striving for one's goals in the face of obstacles or setbacks. Okay, so you know there's going to be hardships on the way. So having that conversation, that's what I talk about, courageous conversations, means, look, I know it's going to be challenging. There might be some pain on the other side.
But you know what, Lou? I've also seen a lot of courage by the women who come to the circle.
Yes.
That I run, and I know that you've attended those as well, but often these are women who don't know anyone in the space.
Yep.
They come and sit in a circle of 11 women and they share so courageously what's gone on for them, where they're at, what their current struggles are. And I think, and I'm getting goosebumps as I say this, I think it's vitally important for women to know that they can go into a space like that and feel supported. It's like it's the vault, like it's the cone of silence, like they know they can trust people. And I think that if you decide to retreat, whatever that looks like, whether it's the yoga class or the circle or the week away at the, I don't know, in Bali for whatever the beautiful retreat is over there, you need to make sure that you've got a space where you feel safe to allow that courageousness to come through for you to then grow into whatever it is, more of you.
And when I think about circle, because that takes me just a little, because it links in with the next element of courage, the circle, you've created the environment such that the women that come know that it's only once a month. They've had to be brave, though, and have the conversation to their family. It's a Sunday afternoon, and I'm going to take out time just once a month to retreat, and you facilitate this beautiful process whereby you've set the values for each of us to go, this is a safe space. You can say as much as you want or as little as you want, but reflection, stop running, sit still enough to pause and see what's bubbling up as we move into this energetic space of what the new moon is.
Yes. And interestingly, nearly every woman who's come for her first circle, or perhaps even second circle, says, oh, you know, it's really hard to get here. I've got all these things I'm juggling. You know, oh, I don't know if it's right for me, this space.
Yep.
At the end of the circle.
I've seen it.
Totally. You see it and they're like, oh, thank God, I really did this for myself. I really needed it or whatever. But then we're looking at women also who've come nearly to every circle.
Yes.
And we spoke about this actually at the last circle. But some of those women said, well, it's circle. Why wouldn't I come? So they've shifted from this space of, oh, I don't know, I need to juggle it, I've got to have, you know, this, that and whatever in place to make it on a Sunday afternoon. And then they've shifted to the other end of the spectrum, which is, this is such a sacred thing for me, why wouldn't I do it?
Yes.
It's like breathing. It's like, I need this retreat time away to make sense of the reality.
That's it. There's persistence, but it's also perspective. It's just 2 hours, you know, give or take, in a little bit of travel time. So it might be 3, start to finish. But it's in perspective to go, I'm just taking 3 hours out of a Sunday.
Of a 1 month.
One.
So there's 168 hours in a week. So times that by four and you've taken 3 hours out of
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It's really not a lot of time.
No.
We do tend to have these excuses run through our head, don't we?
Yeah.
Which says, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I couldn't possibly go on retreat.
Yeah.
And I also think when we hear the word retreat, we do think of that week-long trip yeah. in Bali.
Yeah.
We don't think of those small little pockets of time, which could be the yoga class or could be mm. the circle or could be sitting against the tree for an hour.
Yeah, like that's it.
We need to break it down and think the concept of retreat doesn't have to be mm. expensive or timely or a long amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. So courage. So we've acknowledged that bravery is an important element.
Mm.
Persistence. The next one is integrity. In terms of looking at authenticity and honesty. So speaking our truth in a genuine way. So that way then we're honest about our feelings and thoughts. So that we're really mindful. And so I talk about this authentic wholeness. Mm. To actually go, you know what? I love you all, but I just need this time for me.
Mm.
So honestly, this is what I need. Like in another episode when we were talking about assertiveness, it's saying, you know, what being assertive is saying what's right for me.
Mm.
Like it doesn't mean by taking time out, I don't love you. It just means I really need this for me because I love me too.
Yes. And it's that concept that you can only give from a full cup.
Mm.
Like if your cup runs dry, you got nothing left to give, right?
Yes.
So you have to fill your own cup and only give from the overflow,
yep.
which I think not all women, some women aren't really good at that.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's our culture, where it's we've just taken on the demands of our family or our yep. friends or whatever the case may be, but it's nearly like we have to put a pause to that and go, you know what? And maybe there's a light switch around about 40 or something.
Yes,
this is when it happens.
Yeah. Well, astrologically, I was reading this article and it really highlighted this mid-cycle, mid-life, and this transition that takes place around age 38, 39.
Mm.
It's just there.
Mm.
There's a switch that gets flicked, and it's from age 38, 39 to 43.
And in our society, we call it a midlife crisis, which is ridiculous.
Not.
It's not. It's actually us coming into ourselves
yes.
because the switch is pretty much that tap on the shoulder from the yep. universe, which says, do you know what, Lou? You know what, Helen? You know what, whoever? It's time
yes.
for you to step more fully into who you are.
Brené Brown describes it beautifully. She's such an eloquent, stunningly amazing human because she's, you know, done like 200, like she knows the data. She mm-hmm. has been doing this work for, you know, 20 years of looking at this sort of stuff. And she described it, it's not a midlife crisis because a crisis has a blip. You know, it's mm. it's done, it's dusted, it's over. You implement some strategies and it's done.
Mm.
She calls it a midlife unraveling.
Mm.
Because exactly as you said, universe taps you on the shoulder. You can keep running, but I'm coming after you.
And we've all pulled that thread on a jumper or a dress or whatever.
Unravels.
And it just keeps a coming yep. and it just does not stop.
Until you stop.
Yep.
Like Glennon. On that yoga mat, you stop and you pause.
Mm.
Whether it's that 2-hour circle, you stop and you pause, you unravel a little bit.
Mm.
But that's okay because you're pausing enough just to then move on. So taking that retreat time supports us to be courageous because this is what I love. One of the last little, I guess, components that they identify that comes with courage is vitality.
Oh, I love that.
I know. So that's zest, enthusiasm, vigor, and energy. And they say here, vitality is an approach to life marked by an appreciation for energy, liveliness, excitement, and energy. A vital person lives life as an adventure to be approached wholeheartedly.
Beautiful.
And that's what Brené often talks about. It's like the, you know, wholehearted living.
Mm.
I allow myself to feel joy, mm. terror, panic, all of that. But equally, I'm going to feel joy to go, oh, I'm in this moment, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And having that as part of your courage, you go, yes, there's going to be, you know, points at which there's, you know, mental stresses around X, Y, Z, but that's the ultimate outcome.
Mm.
Like taking a retreat, whatever that looks like, takes courage.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, it's that vitality, you know, we're allowing ourselves to experience what they say here. Oh, here's a cracker of a line. A life of vigor allows one to experience the overlap of the mental and physical realms of experience as stress decreases and health increases.
Beautiful.
And you see that like with women at the circle.
Yes.
You know, or retreats that, you know, we've both done where we've taken that time out. The stress decreases because we're able to take a step back and objectively look at this. We're not tied to the story. We go, oh, that's my story. Oh, it's like the, oh, I just don't have enough time, or because we're so fused with it.
And... Oh, totally. And we think, oh, how can we possibly squash this thing into my crazy life? Well, it's actually making the choice to squash it in. And then it's making the choice to actively save for that thing.
Yeah.
Particularly if you want to take yourself away for a lot longer.
Yeah.
But even, you know, the yoga class might be $30 and you might need to set aside some money every single day.
Yep.
So you can go to that class once a week.
Yeah.
And that would do you a world of good.
Yep.
Yeah. I just... What I've learned now from retreat is that you can't keep me away from it. So beforehand, it took a lot of courage. Beforehand, it took a lot of the self-talk, which is what's going to happen? Am I going to change? You know, all of that fear-based stuff. And now it's like, give me more people, because I know it's helping move me closer to the better version of me.
Yeah, that vitality.
Yeah, yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
So I highly, highly encourage everybody to do, to even just get out that pen and paper and go, okay, what could retreat look like for me within an hour? If I had an hour, what could I do?
I'm going to challenge it. What's your favorite one?
Oh, my hand cream. My
That's a rubbing retreat.
My, I know. And do you know, I did it the other day. I was on the phone to a friend and we talked for about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the entire time while talking, I rubbed hand cream on my hands and I gave my hands and like forearms this lovely little massage.
Beautiful.
So at the same time as connecting with her, I was actually doing something kind for myself. But maybe just get out that paper. What could you do that takes 5 minutes? What could you do that takes an hour? What could you do that takes half a day? Or a full day, and then if, you know, it was possible, what would it look like for a week? And I really want to invite people to retreat on their own.
Yep.
Or on their own to somewhere where there might be other people retreating, but they don't know them.
Yeah.
Because I've been on retreat with people, you know, there's been like 25 of us and haven't known a person. It's been brilliant. And then, you know, other ones you might go and there might be some groups of friends and it just shifts the dynamic of the group.
Okay.
So I know that the very first time I went on retreat, it was like, brilliant. I don't know a person on this retreat.
Yep.
I don't need to, I don't know, help make them feel good or whatever. I could just do what it is I needed.
Fill your cup.
Yes.
One thing that I think everyone could easily implement that one of my clients did, which I love, her retreat, like busy mum, three kids, like just crazy, crazy, crazy life. Her retreat, when she got home after school drop-off, timer for 5 minutes sitting in the car.
Oh, beautiful.
Before she went into the house to then start the busyness of the day to go, okay, now I've got to clean up after the, you know, the dishes from breakfast and blah, 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 like literally. She just went, okay, I'm home. I'm in the car, in the driveway. I don't care what the neighbors think.
No.
And sometimes I can't remember whether she put on a little meditation track for 5 minutes, but sometimes it would just be sitting in silence, close your eyes and just breathe.
Beautiful.
5 minutes just of that, and it just centered her beautifully. So that's what I mean. Retreat can be as simple as that.
Absolutely, as simple as that. I love it. All right, well, we might leave it there, Lou. So thank you so much for being here. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Life Learnings with Helen and Louise. Take care, and we look forward to connecting with you again on our next episode.